This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by French Lick Resort and Casino, Men O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Clark's Pump and Shop, and Dan Cummins of Paris and Georgetown. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Welcome to Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5. A little different today's show. Usually I do the show from the Square Country Club on Main Street downtown. My favorite fairways on the number one tee. Ball rolls for 10 miles. It's great. Today, not so. I am at the Barbasol Charity Golf Tournament at Champions Trace. You've heard me talking about it, and it's just an amazing day out here. A lot of money raised for Caddy 127 and five great charities. I'll talk more as we go. But I'm sitting with, I'll just say it, one of my idols. Don't laugh. He's one of my idols. You know, we have a lot of sports heroes in Kentucky. As a golf community, not just golfers, but as a golf community, truly one of our heroes, Josh Teeter, sitting with me. Hi, Josh.
Hello, Matthew. Thank you very much. You flatter me.
Yeah, whatever. I actually, your mom is the one that I care so much about, and I think you know that, and it's, I'm probably not the only one, is what I'd say.
Definitely not.
As we all know, Josh from right here in Kentucky and went to Morehead State. He's an Eagle. And this year, you've been playing. I looked some stuff up about you. 2001, is that right? You turned pro in 2001?
It was actually 2002. I finished my career at Morehead in the spring of 2002, and shortly after that is when I turned pro.
So 18 years. I was going to say, let me get my calculator out. That's a long time. It's a long time.
Yeah, it is. You know, it doesn't seem like it sometimes, and other times it does for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people change careers so many times, it seems like, and I've been lucky enough to not, you know.
Yeah.
I've obviously changed the levels at where I've been playing, and I guess that is somewhat of a change, but you know, the PGA Tour has now been the longest tenured tour I've been on. So
yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely
it is. We're hoping to continue to keep it going.
Now, this year has been really hard for a lot of reasons, obviously, and we know what they are. But we always, around here, especially, as I said, the golf community here keeps track of what you're doing. We always want to know where in the world is Josh this week. I'm actually amazed that I'm sitting here with you because you could be in, I don't know, Cabo San Lucas or you could somewhere playing in a tournament. Give us a little idea of what this year has been like, especially, I guess, since March, since the pandemic hit.
Yeah, you know, the world of golf in the category and the status that I have being conditional on the PGA Tour is crazy in itself. You know, you might be...
Explain what that is to people that don't know.
So I'm 125 to 160 off the previous season's FedEx Cup list, and that gives me partial status. I'm not going to get into, you know, like the big event last week that was in Vegas. That field's typically pretty strong. You kind of know you're not going to get in it. The only way to get in is to Monday qualify or top 10 the previous week. But, you know, that changes with the way the schedule has changed. And, you know, I play a little bit on the Corn Ferry to kind of keep sharp and, you know, make sure I'm not staying at home getting too lazy and just trying to keep in the flow of playing.
Right.
Just not being 5 weeks off and then all of a sudden having to go out and play.
Right.
So you're juggling that around, and you might be fourth alternate come Friday at the deadline for the PGA Tour event, and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go play the Corn Ferry, and then come Monday morning, you get a phone call, you know, you're third, and then all of a sudden you find yourself sitting at first alternate and you got to make a decision. Do I go to the PGA Tour event and wait it out, or do I stay here and play? And, you know, my focus has been on the PGA Tour, and that's where I'm going to continue to focus, because
right.
I think I'm going to get, you know, maybe up to close to 15 starts this year, which is what I got last season, even with the COVID shutdown. So, yeah, I mean, it's a crazy situation in general, but then you add, you know, COVID on top of it, and it becomes even crazier.
Yeah, but, you know, we all know about DJ this week, and he's not playing at the CJ Cup. And
yeah.
There have been isolated incidents, obviously. But for the most part, I think the PGA Tour, all the tours have handled this really well.
I agree totally. You know, the third week back was in Hartford, Connecticut, and there were some positive tests and then some precautionary withdrawals, and I think there were 7 or 8 withdrawals from that event. And I thought at that point, well, we're going to get shut down again. But, you know, Commissioner Monahan had a press conference, and he was very upfront and said, hey, we knew this would happen, and we have a plan in place that when it did – that we're going to use these protocols and we're going to continue to go. And we have, and, you know, there's been positive cases, as you've said, but I think they've been isolated. And
they do contact tracing.
The protocols have been great. And, you know, we've been able to compete.
I was watching one of the sports shows, SportsCenter, or one of them last night, and somebody made the observation, and I think this is true, the two best commissioners in all of sports are Mr. Monahan and Adam Silver in the way that this has been handled. Now, granted, golf as a sport, because you're outside, you can stay, you know, distant from each other out there. Most of the people I play with don't want to be anywhere near me. I mean, you know, which is their loss, I think. But so it's a little bit easier, but still everybody is doing what they have to do. And even though we've had, like, we got freaking Masters is in 2 weeks or whatever it is. I mean,
yeah, it's crazy to think of, but it is. And looking forward to seeing what
it's still the Masters. I mean,
yeah, somebody's going to get a green jacket.
And here's what I think. I've said this all along. Augusta National and their crew of people who run that place, people were asking, what's it going to be like in November? The weather's different. The trees or leaves are different. The magnolias, are they there? All that stuff. I think that they have, we'll see, they've built a whole thing so it'll look like April. They do whatever they want, right?
They could.
So
yeah.
So you'll be looking and you go, wait a minute, that's amazing. It looks just like it did in April. Yeah. Anyway, it'll be great.
It will be fun to see it on TV, and who knows? Maybe they want to move it to November all the time. I doubt it.
But the good thing is the next two majors are Masters.
Yeah.
So we
back
get
to back.
There is that. Hopefully. Hopefully the next one will be in April, and we'll see. So you're here playing. You're actually going to be on the hole and hitting drives. Is that where you're not?
I think I'm spending half my time on number one hitting drives and half my time on number two hitting tee shots, because
cool.
I don't think we wanted anybody to have to hit drivers for 36 groups coming through, so we're splitting it up.
That's good.
My good buddy Wes Roach is coming up from Knoxville to help out as well, so
that's awesome.
Yeah. Chip and Steven Stallings are here as well, the UK boys.
There's something, those UK boys. I want to talk, in a minute, I want to talk to you about this whole youth movement and all that, seeing as how you're one of the iconic elder statesmen now of the tours. But tell me first, what do we have coming up? Because this whole thing, you're talking about travel, you're talking about decisions, family, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
What do you have coming up?
So I had this week off from the CJ Cup. You know, it's a limited field, only 70 guys. And Brian Pettigrew had reached out to me back in the summer about this potentially happening. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be there. Love to support it. Love to help out. And
as always, you always do.
You know, this game's taken me all over the world, and now it's brought me back home.
Yep.
So I'm off. I got another week off week from Sunday, I head to Bermuda for the Bermuda Championship.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Jay.
Yeah, it's tough.
That sucks.
As long as I pass through all the tests that, you know, we have to pass. So
yeah.
I get home tomorrow, actually, and have to take a test early next week, and then test when I get there and all those good things.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah. But I got that one, and then, you know, the next week's the Masters, which I'll be home, and then, Houston, then the Masters. Hopefully I can get into to maybe RSM down there at Sea Island where I'm living, and, you know, maybe sneak into to the last event after Thanksgiving in Mexico of the calendar year. So hoping to get two more starts, maybe three if I'm lucky.
Okay. Well,
so I'm trying to stay sharp and practicing. And
you've been playing well, dude.
Yeah.
For the most part, you've been playing well.
Yeah, I've had a lot of good stretches. Just got to eliminate some of my mistakes that I've been making three putting. And the putter hasn't been as good as it can be. And I think that's kind of bled into some of my other parts of my game. But that's what I've been focusing on.
You're not the only one that goes through that. I don't know if you know this. Has anybody told you that? There are other guys that go through that, too.
Every one of us that do it have our struggles. So.
Okay. Before I let you go, you're out there. How far do you hit your average drive, would you say?
I think my average is somebody can look it up
and
check me on this, but I think my average is going to be 295-ish probably.
Okay. It's pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah.
See, this is what we're all – I just want to know what you think about I refuse to say his name. Everybody that listens to the show, I either call him the Hulk or Briceps. I refuse to say his name. Feel free. This whole thing about, and I've said this, I respect everything he's done. He has taken all of this stuff and made it personal to him, regardless of what people think or any of it. I get all that.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of how the game seems to be changing, because even you look at the little guys and they're hitting it 310, 315, 320, we're going to see Briceps in Augusta, and he says he's got a 48-inch driver now, and he's going to, you know, try to drive every green and blah, 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 blah. What, you've been playing for a long time. Yeah. What goes through your mind when you think about this?
I mean, it's obviously distance, you know, technology has changed, and the ball and the clubs and training. We're athletes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, you can't tell a receiver he can't run faster.
Right.
You know, like, so what can you do to hold him back? Like, hats off to what Bryson's done.
Should they be held back? I think that's the question. You know, the debate, obviously, is always.
Yeah.
You know, Augusta in April, we might see one of the tee boxes 690 from a hole or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can do moving tees back. You know, I think you make the rough as tough as it can,
right.
Trees in play, and but I mean, you saw him at the U.S. Open, and didn't faze him.
Yep.
So
we'll see. What do you think about the ball? About the idea of because most people say that's the one thing you could do that would, you know, I'm not sure that's fair either.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, if a guy's worked his tail off to be able to hit it 350 and hit it straight at that. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that you can take that away from him.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
It's just my opinion.
I'm still hitting it as short as I did.
You know, when I was on tour, let's say up through like 2015, I was probably the top third in distance. And, you know, now I'm probably average. So with the younger movement and these kids that are hitting it further, you know, it is changing. So, I mean, that makes me have to kind of revamp my game, you know. Maybe I'm not going for all the par fives and two now. Maybe
You work on your wedge.
Wedges more. I mean, I look at my stats from the past season, and I was ranked fairly high in my wedge play.
Which mm-hmm.
over the course of my career, I wouldn't have thought that was a strength of mine. But now knowing that, you know, if I'm in between, I'm like, oh, let's just lay it up.
You can make birdie from like I do. That I don't ever go
not
for
the
a
old fashioned way.
I don't go for par fives and two. I just don't. I'm with the Zach Johnson kind of guy.
You.
All right. You're the best. I mean, I know I kid around, but we love you here, all of us. And thank you for everything you do. I remember doing a first tee event with you at the Children's Charity Classic a few years ago, but you always do everything you can to help the community, and we're very grateful for you, so thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
See you
glad
soon.
To be here.
Okay.
Take care.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Man O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back. Backspin Golf, ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5. Out at the Barbasol Charity Golf Tournament, thanks to Josh Teeter for sitting with us for a little while. So here we have the, is Josh around? The old guy. Josh is the old guy. And here, that's right, he's the old guy. And here is the new guy, Chip McDaniel, joining us now. UK dude, Wildcat. Hi, Chip.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? Go Cats.
Go Cats. It's great to have you. Thanks for taking a few minutes and doing this with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So let's get right to this. 2 years, I think it was 2 years ago, the first Barbasol, mm-hmm. right? We were doing our shows out here every day during the tournament, and you had just turned pro, right? You had graduated from UK.
Yep.
And this was your first tournament that you played in, and you did pretty well, as I remember, right?
Yeah, I mean, I made a paycheck my first tournament, and made cut in a PGA Tour event. It was nice, especially after not playing so well the first day.
Yeah, no, the whole thing was fantastic to watch. Talk to us a little bit about, by the way, we just had Coach Craig on, Alex Goff, yeah. Winning and the whole story about Cullen. You knew Cullen also, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I think everybody knew Cullen.
Yeah. But the golf program at the University of Kentucky is really great. Talk to us a little bit about how you think it prepared you to play at the next level, which you're doing now.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were multiple aspects as to how it prepared me. First of all, the golf courses we played. I remember my first tournament as a freshman, I played a golf course in Indiana, Wolf Run, which was the hardest golf course I had ever played. And we played it in the most brutal conditions you can play it. I think Illinois shot like even par and won by 30 or 40.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like they shot four under as a team the second day. And I think that's the best team score I've ever witnessed.
Yeah.
I think that was the first thing we played. We played that. We played Kiawah Island Ocean Course.
I played there.
Where it's had PGA Championships and stuff like that. So I think that was the biggest thing, was just the courses that we played to prepare you for basically anything you're going to play. And then, second of all, just being around guys that are just as good as you, pushing you to be better and competing with you. And then, also having Coach Craig as a coach who had, mm-hmm. Was a really good junior player, didn't have the college career that he wanted until late, so he had been through some stuff that can help you as a young player. And I think those three things were the biggest aspects that prepared me for golf long term.
You're also playing in the SEC, so a lot of the tournaments you're playing, I mean, we all know about the golf, all sports really, in the SEC, but there are some great programs in the SEC, and you're competing against those guys in tournaments also. So,
I guess I left that out. I guess that's that number four. So, being in, in my opinion, the best golf conference mm-hmm. there was. And, the SEC is, like you said, pretty good in everything. And
good.
That was, playing against the best was definitely eye-opening.
Okay, so you had a great amateur career, too. Right? Tell us a little about your amateur career.
Yeah, I mean, it's all kind of a blur now, but, I was...
It's not that long ago for you, Chip.
It feels like it. It feels like yesterday I was just getting on campus as a freshman.
Yeah.
But, I came into college as, a pretty raw talent, and, I won a tournament my first year there.
Yeah.
Which was... a testament to how much I was improving
and how hard you were working.
Yeah.
I mean, too.
I like to think I work just as hard
mm-hmm.
as anyone. And, being around people that work just as hard as you do only pushes you to work even harder. And you know, I was fortunate enough to win a Kentucky State AM before I even got to college, and then win another one at Keene Run, over there just down the road. And you know, I was.
There are great golfers in Kentucky, amateur golfers. Yeah. So for you to win that twice was really good.
Yeah,
too.
And you know, I'd like to think that I had something to do with that to only make golf in Kentucky better.
Yes, and, I believe that.
You know, that kind of strives you to keep going, mm-hmm. especially when things don't go quite as well as you hope.
Right.
So for me, you know, just the people that I was able to inspire to play golf it means more to me than any amateur win.
Right.
Or, you know, any professional win.
That's great.
That I'll hopefully achieve.
Yeah. Well, amateur. There's a lot of professional victories ahead of you. I just asked Josh about this. This has been a very difficult year for everybody. We all know this. I want you to tell our listeners a little about what this year has been like for you. I mean, in terms of your travel, you're on the Corn Ferry Tour, you're playing here, you're doing this. Just give us an idea of what it's been like for you a little bit.
Yeah, so, you know, COVID-19 made things a little bit more difficult, a little more uncertain. You know, we would get tested every week, and then, you know, we'd have to go there and do that and get that over with, and then, you know, have to go to this place to get our little lanyard that tells us mm-hmm. that we're okay to play and able to go in the clubhouse with, you know, mask on and stuff like that. So it was definitely kind of a new struggle for everyone else, and, you know, something that isn't always the easiest thing to do when you're trying to prepare for a tournament already on top of that. And then
we're also something that I don't think is talked about enough. You guys, athletes, pro athletes, are very much creatures of habit.
Yeah.
And so your whole life playing golf, you prepared a certain way, you practiced a certain way, you got to a tournament and did things a certain way. That's all changed now, pretty much. That's got to disrupt. You have to adjust to a whole new thing now.
It was definitely an adjustment, you know.
Yeah.
Some tournaments didn't have pro-ams that, you know, had always had big pro-ams and stuff like that. So guys were, you know, in the habit of playing Monday, Tuesday, and then they're like, oh, well, I can do whatever I want on Wednesday now.
Right.
And, I didn't feel that as much where I was a rookie on mm-hmm. the Corn Ferry Tour, but, you know, I did play some on the PGA Tour last year.
Right.
So it was even an adjustment for me. But, you know, everyone was, you know, just kind of scrambling around, trying to get preparations in.
Yeah.
And, you know, it definitely affected some people, I believe.
Yeah, it did. How far out do you know where you're going to be playing? Or, I mean, you're on the Corn Ferry Tour, right? So you have a kind of a set schedule? Is that how it's working for you now? Or are you still kind of going, wait, in 2 weeks I'm going to be where?
No, things have definitely been more certain this year.
That's great.
Yeah, I haven't had to play in hardly any Monday qualifiers or anything like that.
Right.
You know, it's a wraparound season, so my status will go into next year and stuff like that. So I should be good for the entire year.
That's great.
And be certain of my schedule.
Well, until you get promoted to the PGA Tour.
Yeah, hopefully I can just win 3 times.
That's all you got to do. It's not that hard. Right? Come on, man. Really. The Corn Ferry Tour, by the way, because I'm so old, I've known that this kind of that tour by a lot of different names now.
Yeah.
You guys are the best players in the world, whether it's the PGA Tour or the Corn Ferry Tour. I mean, the golf is just amazing. Do you ever find yourself, I know this must be hard, but do you ever find yourself like at one of those tournaments and going, man, these guys are really good?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. Pretty much every week. I mean, it's the funny thing is, you know, you'll play with someone that doesn't play so good, and then the next week they'll be, you know, leading after 2 days or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guys on the Corn Ferry Tour, you know, they're hungry. You know, they're really hungry, and they're, you know, a lot of them are young, and they have all the shots. They, they bomb it, they can putt it, they can do everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're definitely, you know, other than the top guys on the PGA Tour, I think they're probably the best golfers.
Right.
That we will see.
I agree. And so many of you will be on there. You're the future of our game. All right. Before I let you go, because, you know, we got to get out there. I got to hit ball. You're going to be doing some driving today, is that, or are you playing?
I'm not playing driver or iron shot. I don't know which one it is.
All right. But, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll be great. I don't know if you can outdrive me, but how far do you average hitting the ball off the tee? Would you say just ballpark?
Not far enough, apparently.
Well, you still
I'm working on it. I don't know what my driving distance average was this year, but
yeah.
You know, I can hit it 300 yards.
Okay.
You
know, well,
I'm not sure, but I'm kind of on that.
I just talked to Josh about this.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be, you know, you hit it 300.
Yeah.
And now you got guys.
Here's a funny stat for you. I got this from Darren Stiles, who's a rules official on the Korn Ferry Tour, was a good player on the Korn Ferry Tour. And I don't know what year it was, but he averaged 290 off the tee and was top 30 in driving distance. And in 5 years, he went to 291 driving distance.
Mm-hmm.
And he was outside of the top 100 in driving distance.
What?
Yeah, in 5 years. He didn't lose any distance, and he went from inside the top 30.
That's staggering.
To outside the top 100.
Just...
Yeah.
I talked to Josh about this, too, because, you know, he said he's average now, and he hits it about 295, he said. So your wedge game has to be better. Your putting has to be better. But I'll bet you'll even continue to gain distance. You say you're 25 like you're old.
Yeah.
You ain't old. Yeah. You still got plenty of stuff
it's
to go. You're good.
It goes by so fast. It's hard to remember 4 and 5 years ago.
I know. Yeah. Well, wait till you get to be my age. I can't remember yesterday. Yeah. I don't know where I live half the time.
No, I feel younger than I did when I was 21.
That's great.
It's just hard to remember.
Yeah, it is. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking with us and for being here. As you said, your impact means a lot to the University of Kentucky, to kids growing up playing golf in Kentucky. And you're a terrific guy, and we're all rooting for you. And it's going to be, we know you're going to have a great career.
Well, I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And thanks for having me on. And I hope I can inspire so many more people. That are younger than me.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back. Backspin Golf. I'm shaking, Sean. I'm a little nervous. This is what, one of my closest friends, but I just never know with him. He's one of the best in the world at what he does. And yet there's always that part of me that's a little worried when I speak with Brendan Sweeney from my favorite resort in the world, French Lick Resort. But we'll take a shot. Be ready, Sean. That's all I'm saying. Be ready. Hi, Brendan Sweeney.
Hi, Sean. How you doing, buddy? Good to hear from you.
Sean,
it's been a long time. Hi, Matthew.
How are you?
Good. I have my notebook in front of me and it says, thank the host. So thank you, Matthew, for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
You know, it's funny because you've done a ton of these over the years, and I think it's pretty amazing that you still have to write yourself a note to do that.
Yes.
Well,
Sean, we talk all the time.
Yeah, okay.
It's great.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Matthew. Is this Mitch?
It might as well be.
You guys look alike.
I don't even know anymore, to be
honest.
You're
good, buddy. Hey, how you doing, man? We're getting through this, aren't we?
Yes.
This thing we call
life.
2020.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. We're getting through it.
Yes. The band is actually playing on the deck right now. The violins are, it's just a minor iceberg we hit.
Yeah.
We're getting through it.
We are. And it'll be a while before we actually sink, hopefully. Many, many decades. last time we spoke about the resort, which I'll, as I say all the time, 2 hours and 15 minutes door to door from Lexington, closer if you're in the surrounding environs. But last time we spoke, I believe, was in July, and things had started to open up a little bit. One of the hotels had opened, and the golf courses, of course, were open by then. Give us an update about what's going on up at the most beautiful resort.
Well, thanks, Matt. It's been a learning experience, and
yeah,
under the leadership of the golf leadership of Dave Parner and then Chuck France from the French Lick Hotel side, from the Cook side. To say that it hasn't been a struggle will be an underestimate.
Of course.
We have, as I was telling you before, way back when, in a town of 2,500 people, we employed 1,700, we furloughed 1,450. Our number one priority was to bring back all of our full-timers, so we're probably back about 800. So with that being said, unfortunately, we're starting to bring back the part-timers. The seasonal people, the interns, didn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll get them going again.
Yeah.
It was a funky year. I mean, when we spoke last time, every association, all the banquet work, all the convention work is canceled and still is canceled. And it's going to be canceled throughout the rest of the year. But from the golf side, we're looking at wide open tee sheets. With that being said, it just like floodgates opened.
Yeah.
I spent the last, 7 of the last 10 weeks up there, just helping out, just where do you need me? Like being the cart guy, helping out with the caddies, being a starter. And we're doing at the Ross, probably, 160, 180 players a day at the Dye.
Wow.
120. The
wow.
Valley Golf Course, the nine holer down below, they're doing 160. With that being said, Matt, our hotel is only at 50% capacity. So if you're looking at, 802 rooms being knocked down to 401, and then having your tee sheet just jammed pretty much from Thursday through Sunday, and even Monday-ish. We had 100 last Monday. We had 120 people on it at the Ross.
Wow.
For a Monday.
Wow.
And they're coming from everywhere. So the golf side is going great.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I know that you're a big fan of things. As of now, as of today, the Polar Express, which is a big winter highlight, along with the I'm not sure what our status is on our tree lighting ceremony coming up in November or December, is canceled. So the poor guy that was running the Polar Express, it's open for 35 days. Close to 30,000 people would be on it, so that's mm-hmm. a huge chunk of change being missed out of the valley.
What a shame!
It is. I mean, it's absolutely awful. But slowly, I left last Sunday to come back home to Orlando to be with my family for a little bit, and some of the Christmas parties were picking back up. People, we're doing a lot of, oddly enough, at the hotel, Matt, we jacked up all of our internet services and we put in workstations throughout. So what we'd see a lot of our guys coming down and doing their Zoom calls or kids doing classes virtually online and then taking advantage of the outdoors afterwards. And it's crazy that the amount of families that we didn't count on coming down. I mean, it's like, take for example, my daughter, she showed up at high school for first week in August, and a kid in her class tested positive. She did not test positive, but she was sent home for 2 weeks. So mm-hmm. we went to the beach and she was working there. And and a lot of people have been doing that at the resort.
Well, what we've done on our Sean and my daily show and on Backspin throughout this whole thing is we try to look for silver linings. And sometimes it's easier than others, but just you speaking this way, there's a silver lining there in that families can come to the resort. And meanwhile, we should say your pictures, you're an okay photographer, but even you can't ruin the pictures of fall in French Lick. and what's going on there. I mean, it's magnificent.
It was. Thank you. It was absolutely last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I was at the Ross Thursday, Friday, Dye Saturday, Sunday, and you could see the trees changing colors.
I mean,
it was just bizarre. It was so cool.
The pictures are just, they're magnificent. And so what I was
no going filters to say, either. I was taken with an iPhone.
Yeah, well, we all do that. I mean, you know,
no filters.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, even know what a filter is, but
obviously.
Obviously.
That's why you're doing a Sunday morning golf show.
What I was going to say is that you didn't expect this, but because of virtual learning and virtual work, parents and their kids can come to the resort and be in that atmosphere in French Lick, how beautiful it is, and do their schoolwork, the parents can do their work virtually in Zoom, which they're all doing. And so that's a silver lining. The families are getting to spend time together, and what a great thing for the resort to be able to do.
And both of the hotels, as the weather starts to change and as we go into the final quarter of 2020, you know, we have two indoor pools, you know, one at West Baden, one at French Lick. Then if you go up the hill around the corner from the resort is Big Splash Mountain.
Right.
Which is a total indoor water park with like the tubes and everything else. And then 8 miles up the road is Paoli Peaks, which is I think it's the only ski resort in Indiana. And, you know, I hopefully we have a mild winter, but hopefully it snows like a mother and we start booking some other business somewhere.
So. Right. Now are those, so obviously they're open, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And both hotels, you can get
all three. We have three hotels now, Matt.
Three. Oh,
yeah. We opened one last year and right next to the casino called the Valley Tower.
Well,
so we opened up the Pete Dye golf course during a recession, and we opened up the Valley Tower during a pandemic. I mean,
it's amazing.
If we start building again, pull out of the stock market.
That two is enough. Yeah. We don't need to go for three, but it's just, as I have always said, ever since my first time up there, there is really, unique is the only word, because there is really no place like the French Lick Resort. The golf is amazing. It's been too long for me to be up there. I'm playing fantastic golf and I need to get up there. I want to, my goal in golf is to shoot under par on the Dye course. So,
I actually broke for embarrassingly enough, first time I broke 80 was about 2 weeks ago.
What? There's no way. I've played with you. There is no way.
Yeah.
What'd you play? You played 13 holes.
Oh, there you go.
Well, that's
there you
awesome.
Go.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's thanks awesome. For the encouragement.
The same kind of encouragement you give me. Okay. Yeah,
keep your head down and follow through, Matthew.
That's right. All right. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much. I miss you like crazy, man. I got to see you soon.
Hey, please be safe with your family. Sean,
you
thanks
too.
For your stuff. And Lexington, we look forward to seeing you. And go Cats, right?
Yeah, baby.
Take care.
See ya. That'll do it. What a great show. Seriously, thanks to Brian Pettigrew and all the great people involved with the Barbasol Charity Golf Tournament. What a fantastic experience with all of them. So much money raised for Caddy 127, and just unbelievable. All right. I want to thank, as always, our incredible partners, Man of War Golf, French Lick Resort. Thanks again to Brendan. Lexington Parks and Rec, Edwin Watts, Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown, Clark's Pump and Shop, Commonwealth Credit Union for their great work, and NFP Insurance. They are the best, peeps. Any insurance needs, get in touch with Michael Cunningham at NFP. All right, we'll be back next week, Sunday at 8:03, as always. It's ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5. Stay tuned for The Bottom Line and The Angelo Show. Have a great Sunday.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.